give this service to you. We've already lifted that request to you. I'm glad we don't have to face life alone. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, give us strength today. Some of us need strength. Some of us need just guidance. Some of us may need forgiveness and be drawn back closer to you. Lord, whatever it is, we can find in you. So, Lord, we just give yourselves. Yeah, I just pray a wave of grace would wash over us and we'd be refreshed by your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, glad I don't have to face all these things by myself. We're in our Believe series. It's hard to believe that we went 28 weeks, I'm 29 weeks, excuse me. We start off talking about God, and today we're on chapter 29 of this. Next week's our last week, and then I'll go into a new series about discipleship. So like calling up the Rangers out of the Army. You know, you say, I'm in God's Army. God's looking for some Rangers, though, and that's he's going to pull you up the Delta Force. So I want to talk about discipleship. You can't just say, well, I just want to be in the Army. And same thing, you know, some people are on a team, but some people want to not just be on the team. They want to start, and I'm going to call for some starters. I've always been thankful for our church. We might have 40 people or so, but our 40 people are equivalent to 200 in another church because y'all are good givers. We've never missed a payment. Last week we talked about faithfulness. I got to say this. I could have put a picture up there. It's hard to believe. You ought to see the picture. I think someone took it from this side. Matter of fact, Chris, I think you and Carrie and Josie are probably sitting right there. That shows you how long ago that's been because she's probably in the 10th grade or something. It's Jonathan Falwell came in. He had to be in the area. So he came in and spoke at date. I remember Bill and Maxine sitting right back there where Granville is under the clock. And I said, I've got a friend coming in. He's going to talk to us. He just helped us dedicate our new building. That was 5 years ago. And Jonathan came in, and later Bill says, I don't know who you got to play Jonathan, but man, he'd look like a dead ringer for him. And I think it's, Bill, that was Jonathan. Oh! He thought I'd hired somebody to look like Jonathan to come in. I thought, yeah, he did a good job, all right, Bill. Has his mannerisms and everything. Yeah, you might say that since he had about a 35, 40 year start on doing those mannerisms. Yeah, I said, Bill, that was Jonathan. Oh, how'd you get him down here? I said, I did. God did. So he was a good guy. But we're celebrating faithfulness here. We've been in here 5 years, never missed a payment. We're always here. We've seen people come and go. If I had everybody that's ever been in Life Point, how many people do y'all think we'd have? 200, 300 or something? Yeah. I mean, we've had 50 baptisms probably. Now, I don't have everybody. Anybody been baptized? Raise your hand in Life Point Church. Anybody been baptized? Raise your hand. Now, anybody been baptized in Life Point Church? So see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That first group of six, Benjamin was one of those six. So Benjamin, a few things have changed since then. Right? And that was outdoor and a portable baptism right up there. And I mean, I'm proud of Benjamin for stepping out and, you know, in faith right there. That was a few years ago. I think that was me. So God is faithful. God gently speaks to our hearts sometimes, doesn't he? He doesn't just, I can't picture Jesus grabbing you by the collar and doing this. He probably needs to sometimes. But he's kind. He's gentle. He's what we are talking about today, gentleness. Over these years, God just seems like he says, I know. He woos us. He talks to us. He helps us to stay calm. What is gentleness to you? Maybe you would say it's this. It's being soft-spoken or very considerate. Being thoughtful and kind in your actions, tender-hearted and sensitive. Maybe you think of the movie and title this, what's gentleness to you? Maybe it's this movie, Beauty and the Beast. Of course, I got those names reversed right here. This is not the Beast and that's not the Beauty, but anyway, she's, you're just a Beast. That's what Otis calls Aunt B when he's staying at their house. She's just a Beast. Beauty and the Beast. And yet she wins him over by her gentleness. Key idea then, I'm thoughtful, considerate, and calm in my dealings with others. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Are you known as a gentle person? The Lord is near. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. you ever stayed calm and you could have made matter? You say, if I say this, it's going to make matters worse. Everybody's at least saying, then I'm glad you kept your mouth closed. Mark, are you living this right now?
Yeah.
Mark's living it because Tammy, his sister, would probably say, oh, Mark. And what Jenny says sometimes to me, she says, people will say things that almost is trying to throw a hook out. You just don't bite the hook. You just say, nope, I'm going to let that go by. Nope, I could say something. Well, then, no, don't. Just be gentle. How many times could Jesus have said something? Matter of fact, he's going to the cross and they say, people say, you're the Christ. What do you say? Jesus opened not his mouth. I wish we could learn from that right there. It's like, stay calm. But you say, these are common sense things. Let my gentleness be evident to all. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Let me just be calm. And yesterday, Peter wasn't there in here, so I can talk about it. But anyway, yesterday they were here at the diamond painting, and it's pouring down rain. And Rachel decided to go out and take a shower. You know, wasn't that cool? Her and her friend just went out there and ran around in the rain. And I said, okay, you go ahead. And they come back in, look like rats in a minute out of a storm, and it's like hair matted to their head. And well, we got towels in the van. How many people do that? Some bragging on that, but I mean, how many people, what are you doing? Wow. I remember in the movie Hook, Robin Williams was in this. It was, y'all ever seen the movie Hook? He's like Peter Pan. He gets on a plane and his son Jack is sitting there bouncing a baseball off the roof. And he says, Jack, you're acting like a 10-year-old. You know what Jack says back? I am a 10-year-old. So, Dad, I'm just being normal. So you're getting upset with me for being who I am. Or would you say, Jack, we'd rather not do this. So can I have the baseball? Thank you. Now here's your Etch-a-Sketch, or give him something else to play. Or Brett could give the engineering answer. Jack, if you knock the hole in that, the barometric pressure will change and it will suck you out of the place. We'll all die. Do you want that to happen? That's it. Put a guilt trip on that 10-year-old. Now, you just got to know, Andy did this when he was a little kid. Squeeze his feet on the rug, and he'd go, shock you. Don't tell me you've never done that. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
So me and Andy would do that. Notice I said, you know, Andy, Jenny would always, she just let us be. I was like, hey, don't do it to the cat. No, it's like, so we just like, and we were doing that one day in the mill, and Jenny's like, I don't know if you should. I said, okay. And I went down on one knee, why? So I could see him what? Eye level, and I say, Andy, we better not do it in here. It's okay to do it in the house. But let's not do it in here. We were at a funeral home. We were at Kendall Funeral Home there in Pembroke. And I said, Andy, let's just do it. Oh, okay. Please. Gentlemen. What are you doing? I didn't want to do that. He didn't know what he was doing. He's 4 or 5 or whatever he was. Gentlemen. Let's shock each other's house. We better not do it at this house. This home is a little different than our home. Because it's a funeral. Okay. You say, oh, gosh, that's common sense. Well, you'd think it was common sense, but some people fail the common sense test. Yep. Common sense is not common. You sit there and go, hey, would you behave and quit acting wild? Gosh, I thought, I wonder where you learned it from. Your technique's arm, have you sock it right now. Quit, calm down. Yeah. Common sense. How about this? Following warnings were found on some consumer products. On a Duraflame fireplace log, caution, risk of fire. Wow. How about this one? On a Batman costume, warning, cape does not enable user to fly.
Really?
That key goes. How about this one? On a cardboard sunshield for a car, do not drive a sunshield in place. The fact that they got to tell you that.
Means somebody did that.
That's exactly right. I think they would not give you this warning unless it's happened. You know, like McDonald's, caution, coffee is hot. But that because someone sued them because this coffee's hot. Well, duh. I like this one, probably the best one. On a portable stroller, caution, remove infant before it's folding for storage. Mom, I got to go. All right. That thing in the car. On the trunk going down the road. Oh, we didn't take the baby out first. I knew we forgot something. Imagine when you unfold it next. All right. I want to add the following warning with today's story in mind. Do not let one man's folly be the cause of your own folly. Could you state that sort of like a King James kind of thing? How about this? Just cause one person's a fool, don't you become one. Be gentle instead. Don't get caught up in that anger or whatever it might be. Don't get caught up. 1 Samuel chapter 25. In this story, we'll see opposites just like in the movie Beauty and the Beast. One person answers harshly. Another person is calm, showing gentleness. Let's see how these people respond and what we can learn about the way we should respond to others. 1 Samuel 25. Would you take your Bibles and look at 1 Samuel 25? I want to look for a gentle answer. 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel 25. It's in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd, what?
Samuel.
Yeah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Sorry.
Thank you.
Yes, please. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. 1 Samuel. If you would turn to 1 Samuel 25. I was going to try to make it to my the Randy Frazzy video today, but I don't know if I'm going to make it to Randy or not. Let's go through this. 1 Samuel 25. What's the story about? Well, it has three people who are starring in it. That's David, Nabal, and Abigail. David, Nabal, and Abigail. You're going to see a few things. Matter of fact, I'm just going to... Let's put these things up in case you're taking a note. There's my message in a nutshell. Let's see if we can go through these. You tell me what... If you've never heard this story, it's a very interesting. Now, Samuel died. Samuel was the guy that had came and anointed David to be king. King David is not yet quite taken on the throne, though, because he's being hunted down by the king, Saul. So David's just waiting his time. So he's got this band of men that started out to be about 50 and 60. And they call it David's Mighty Men. It's sort of like, remember, the Delta Force. Next thing you know, this 50 or 100 or 200 men, David's probably got 600 people right now following him. What an influencer. And this David's basically to the world a loser. Being hunted down by Saul, has nobody around him, running from his family, doesn't want to kill his son. You know, he's got turmoil back and forth. And guess what? People are coming at him. And so David's hiding out in caves, and he's on the run, if you might say. Now, Samuel died, and this is the next thing that probably hurt his... Oh, he's lost a friend. All Israel assembled, mourned for him, and they buried him at the time of at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Moab. A certain man in Moab who had property there at Carmel, who was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats, showing you he was wealthy. 1,000 goats, 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal. By the way, you know what Nabal means? Fool. How'd you like to have that name? Hey, fool! Well, I'm sorry, I used your translated name. And his wife's name was Abigail. She was intelligent and beautiful. Now, notice how the opposite here. She was intelligent and beautiful. Her husband, Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. She's beautiful and probably gentle and kind. And her husband's surly and mean. So while David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to him, "Go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Long life to you, good health to you and your household.'" In other words, hey, everything great, good health to all the chores. "Now I hear that at sheep shearing time, when your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. We didn't steal anything from them. Ask your own servants and they'll tell you. Therefore, be favorable toward my young men. Since we came at a festive time, please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them." Can I just sort of toss this story, give you a little bit more? They were shearing sheep. And as David was sort of like the nomadic tribe there, when they would shear the sheep and his workers were out in the field, David could have plundered them and taken them and beaten them up and ripped off everything they had. And instead, he did the opposite. He was like a, what do you call that person that stays around someone, you know, like the president has them around him. What are they?
Secret Service.
Secret Service, keep on there, like?
Guards.
They're bodyguards. David and his group became bodyguards for them. They said, we're going to watch over the shears. We won't let anything happen. But basically, we'll give you protection from everybody around us. Wow. It's not like you owe us, but yeah, you owe us. We kept your shears safe. That's why you're the wealthy man that you are. So, can you mind if we come up and have a little bit of food and everything? Well, here's his answer. Nabal answered David's servant. Who is this David? Well, no big deal. He's just going to be the king. Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered from my shears and give it to men coming from who knows where? Bottom line, I don't owe you a thing. Well, next time we'll just back off and let your shears die out there in the field and we'll see how that goes for you. So again, why would this man give something to David anyway? Because he's very what? He's wealthy. He would never miss. It's like I've got five cars sitting in the driveway and Joe's walking. Can I have one of your cars? Sorry, Joe. Go get a job. Get your own car. Well, thanks. I'm the guy that fixed your cars. Well, anyway, get your own car. That would be very ugly. Besides, three or four of them is going to have to jump start because they've sat there so long. Nobody's using them. No, but they're mine. Reminds you of little kids. I owe you a thing. David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, put on your swords. What he's really done, whether it's verbally instead of physically or not, they slapped David in the face. I owe you a thing. You're talking about gentleness now. When someone has aggravated you, whether that be mom, dad, brother, sister, siblings, wife, husband, if you can't say something nice, what? Don't say anything at all. You know, if I said, what is that song? All my exes want my money. No, I was just reading the other. But what if somebody that you don't care too much about, they show up? Be Christ-like back. I don't want to be. Be that way anyway. Put on your swords. They're going to go... Heads will roll, literally. So they put on their swords and David put on his. About 400 men went up with David. These are Delta Force and they're going to take on some farmers. That's about what it amounts to. 400 men went up with David while 2,000 stayed with the supply. 200 stayed with the supply. So he's got 600 men. Why did he leave 200 with the supply? Nobody's going to rip him off while he's gone. One of the servants told Nabal's wife, Abigail, one of the servants, that guy right there is a hero. One of the servants went in and found Nabal's wife Abigail. David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at him. Wasn't gentle, he was ugly and rude back to him. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us. All the time we were herding our sheep near them. In other words, we owe these guys something. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man and that no one can talk to him. I love the next four words. What are the four words of verse 18?
Abigail lost no time.
This alarm going off. Let me wait till next week. Let me think about it. No. I've got it. Okay, all right. What should I do? Stay calm. And she goes and watch what she just throws together. She took 200 loaves of bread. Must be at the Moser house when I was growing up with five boys. 200 loaves of bread, two skins, wine, five dressed sheep, 5 seeds of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there was David and his men descending toward her, and she met them. Watch what she does. David had just said, "It's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the desert so that nothing of his was missing. He's paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off the donkey and bowed down before David, her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "My Lord, let the blame be on me alone." Now, wait a minute now. Is this her fault?
No.
Why did she just now say that? Well, it's sort of like when Nehemiah was building the wall. He prayed before they built the wall. He says, "God, would you forgive us Israelites for basically being who we are, sinners?" Nehemiah, you don't even live there. You live Susa in the capital. That'd be like me, "God, forgive us people who live in Giles County." You don't live in Giles. There's always a streak of Giles in me. Let me pray for my home. She said, "Please, please forgive us. Well, you didn't do anything wrong." Here's what she says. It's fine, amazing. We'll read that next verse. After she leaves no time, throws together the great things, meets David, and she says this: "My Lord, let the blame be on me alone. Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. May my Lord pay no attention to that wicked man, Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is Fool. And folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my master sent." I didn't see him, because if I did, the story would have been different. "But now, since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with my own hands, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, may your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be like Nabal. And let this gift, 2 donkeys full of food." By the way, what is David's workers doing right now at this point? They're over there next to those donkeys. Some of them taste that raisin cake. It's like, that raisin cake looked pretty good. David turned around. "Don't eat. Hang on. Might be a trick." Put the sword back in there. Over there. They haven't eaten all. Raisin cake. David, let's listen to what she says. By the way, what did they tell you when you're mad? Count to what? Count to 10, calm down. She's getting him to calm down. Because his hand's on the sword as she comes over there. Yep. He's calming down. And then he sees gentleness come from this person. And now watch his demeanor change. "Let this gift which your servant has brought to my master be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive us your servant's offense. For the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, Saul, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling." Wonder if David could identify that sling. Now, this is a man who kills Goliath, so he knows all about a sling. She's hitting him right where he lives. It's like, you're reminding me of family. You remind me that God will take care of me. This sounds like a psalm. "But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as the pocket of a sling." Sounds like something out of Psalms. Guess who wrote Psalms? God's using her words to speak to David's heart. When the Lord has done for my master every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him leader over Israel, my master will not have on his conscience a staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. When the Lord has brought my master success, remember your servant." David then said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." So then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request. When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. Isn't that interesting? He's acting like David. He's throwing a big party, acting like a king. He was in high spirits and very hot. Drunk. If David and them would have attacked him, it wouldn't even have been a battle. He was in high spirits and very drunk. She told him nothing until daybreak. Then in the morning when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things. And when she did, bottom line, you could have lost your life yesterday if God hadn't intervened. And when he heard that news that his life could have been snuffed out, look what happened. His heart failed and he became like a stone. You ever tried to pick up somebody who's asleep or has fainted or something? You'd call that what kind of weight? That's dead weight. He's like a dead man right here. It's like you could have died yesterday if God hadn't intervened. It could have been all over. I could have died yesterday. Suddenly gets his attention. He became like a stone. And about 10 days later, look, David didn't strike him. Who struck him? The Lord struck Nabal and he died. I don't know if he became like a stone, whether he went into a coma or whether he just stayed like that for 10 days. Of course, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be to the Lord who has helped my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. God, you took care of my problems." You ever heard this? When Joshua was fighting the big wall had to come down, what was that town? Joshua fought the battle of
Jericho.
And just before Jericho, he's out there pacing, eating his fingernails, and it's like, oh. He looks up and the angel of the Lord comes up, and Joshua's like, "How's it going?" "I'm sort of nervous about tomorrow." He doesn't know who this is. Doesn't realize. I think this is Jesus incarnate. This is God. This is Jesus showing up before Bethlehem. But he's done that several times in the Old Testament. It says, "The angel of the Lord." And Joshua comes over and he says, "Whose side are you on?" You know what the angel says wisely back? He said, "I'm on nobody's side. I'm here to take over." Okay. When I have a problem, I don't say, "God, are you on my side?" God says, "Just let me take, no, let me take, give me that. I'll take care of it." Okay, just a pound one. "David, get out of the way. I got this." "David, get out of the way. I'm not moving." God steps in, takes over. Now, so I wish you had just did something else. I'm just telling you what God did right there. God handled David's problem without David raising a hand against him. Would you do this? So right now, when you think, "I just love to punch so-and-so," don't feel that way against your mom. No, if Joe's got a problem, Mark's got a problem, Brett's got a problem, Benjamin gets up and says, "Oh, sure. Benjamin, I know you've got great teachers, they're probably like me, but just in case you don't," if he gets up and says, "You know, I could just, wait a minute, stop my, the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. So here, you take care of my mom, you take care of my parents, you take care of my English teacher, you take care of my husband, or you take care of my," and it gets so much better when you don't carry it around, you give it to God to carry it around. So David says, "Okay, it's yours." 10 days later, he's gone. "So I should pray that God would kill my ex-husband." No, I didn't say that. I didn't. I did not kill my history teacher. No, I didn't say that at all. I'm just saying, put the battle in the Lord's hands. Okay? And David did it. David sent word to Abigail after this. David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife." She just said, "Hey, I'm a wealthy widow. I can take care of that." She bowed down with her face to the ground, still humble, still gentle, and said, "How is your maidservant ready to serve you and wash your feet? Here's your maidservant ready to serve you and wash your feet, your master's servants." And she quickly got on a donkey and tended her by her five maids, went with David's messengers, became his wife. And she wasted no time, and she's now got a new lifestyle. You say, well, she left what she was doing. Abigail went from being gentle now. By the way, do you think that's the first time that her husband ever got drunk?
No.
I don't think so. It's a weekly occurrence. But she patiently, I can just picture her praying, "God, you got to help us through this. And my husband's acting like a crazy person again. And Lord, you just help me. You just help me." She's the wife of the king now. Now, does he rescue us all in the same way? I don't know how he's going to rescue us, but I'm just saying, here's what we need to do. If we put a request to God in this, David went in and, hey, can I have some food for my men? Nabal sends back, refuse. I don't owe you anything. Okay, I'm going to come kill you. I've had it. Here comes Abigail. Wait. Show some restraint. Back up. Let God, the battle is God's. And God will give us rest from that. Yeah, but that's fairy tale stuff. That's all the Bible. This Bible, you either believe it or you don't. Okay? God will even give you rest, and he'll give you an answer to your prayer, and we're just, I don't know why we're meeting today. But we are meeting today, because it's real, and God's real, and God will help me. And when I don't know what to do, God does. So, I am thankful that we can remember God today. We're going to take communion. So would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, today, a simple fact of gentleness. May that word ring true. When we feel like retaliating, when we feel like arguing, when we feel like being mad, Lord, didn't say we couldn't stand firm. You helped us to do that. But in essence, in this story, you told David, stand down. I've got this. So, Lord, may we never try to run ahead of you and try to solve things yourself. You know what you're doing. We just need to trust in that fact. And you'll take care of the things that are around us, and we don't have to worry. The battle is not ours. It's yours. The battle is the Lord's. Lord, may we commit things to you. May we give you the burdens and the cares and frets and the worries on our heart. May we not want to get even, but instead get close to you and let you handle things. Jesus, I'm picturing you as a gentle shepherd, as a gentle Savior. And as you headed to the cross, you were gentle. You didn't fight back. You didn't swing. You could have called 10,000 angels to come down and wipe out all the enemies, but you didn't do that. Instead, obediently, you sacrificially went to a cross. And there you paid for my sins, buried, rose again the third day. Now you're hearing my words today in heaven and seated at the Father's right hand. Lord, I want to honor you. I pray that we'd all honor you today as we remember what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.